And he wants us to speak to him, and he wants us to hear him speak to us. I think that's a very important theme in the year to come. But tonight, I want to zero in on one passage of Scripture, and we'll see. I don't think it'll take too long. So pray with me before we get into it. Father, we just declare again and remind ourselves that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth out of your mouth. Father, your word that is your Son, and your word that are these commandments and these promises that we are given. Lord, we live first and foremost by what you tell us and what you teach us. And Lord, we thank you for this time of fasting as a church. Lord, we lift up the other churches as they continue and finish the fast tomorrow night. And then, Lord, we lift up our time together Sunday morning and pray that you would, Lord, gloriously meet with us. Stir up our heart and our vision and our hope for things to come. Lord, we ask tonight that you would open your word. Lord, it is yours. It belongs to you. No one can master it. But Lord, we can be mastered by it. And we pray that you, Father, would master us with your word tonight. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read the first couple verses of John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So with the youth on Friday nights, we've actually memorized, we're memorizing. How's everybody doing? Joshua, how's your, y'all want to try it out up here? Little, never mind. So we've been memorizing John 15, 1 through, what are we, 17? Yes, 1 through 17. And over the fast, because, I don't know if it was because God was speaking to me about it or because we've been memorizing it, this is what I was stirring in my heart the most. So I wanted to just share a few brief thoughts out of this section of Scripture. So Jesus here gives a really vivid image of what God is up to. And what God is up to is gardening. Just think about how much this theme of gardening comes up. Let me just give some examples, and y'all could probably help me. First of all, in Genesis, he plants a garden, and he puts Adam and Eve there, and he puts a variety of fruit trees there. All through Scripture, he gives images of making desert places, places that bloom, that are lush, like a garden. He uses the image of vine repeatedly for his people. My favorite is in Ezekiel, an eagle takes a little sprout and plants it in Israel. Remember this? It's a really interesting image of God planting a garden, his people, Israel, the vine. The best psalm, I don't know if you can say there's a best, but one of the best psalms, Psalm 1, is about the fruitfulness of some people, right? And about others who are not fruitful. Think about how many times in the Gospels Jesus brings up something that has to do with fruit. I mean, all the parables that have to do with seeds bearing fruit or trees bearing fruit. I was thinking about the one where the owner of the land says, look, this tree hasn't borne fruit for years. And the gardener says, wait, don't cut it down yet. Let's give it one more year. Let me dig around it and fertilize it, and then we'll see. But that's just one of many examples of all these parables that Jesus gives about fruit and fruitfulness, gardening. Remember when Jesus goes to the fig tree looking for what? Fruit. And what happens? There's no fruit, so he curses it. The Bible tells us in Revelation that the New Jerusalem, in the center of New Jerusalem, is not going to be Central Park. Well, it is Central Park, but it's a new Central Park. And the trees that line that are the trees of life, right? Not just one tree of life anymore. So I would say that God is obsessed with fruit. And Emily, it's interesting that you mention fruit because over the weeks, as I've been praying for you, I was thinking about fruit. And then you sort of shared about Franny, and your psalm even had some stuff in there about fruit. So I think there's something significant there. But I just want to say that God loves gardening, and God is deeply interested in fruit. All right, he's deeply interested in fruit. So in this image, Jesus says, look, I'm the vine. It's pretty straightforward. I'm the vine. Think of a grapevine. And my Father's the farmer. He's the one taking care of the vine to see that it brings forth fruit. And there's two things that Jesus says. He says, listen, my words to you are sap that nourish you if you stay abiding in me. And they're also a pruning hook. All right, it's interesting. They do two things. They prune and they bring sap. And then he says, you, my people, are branches. And my Father's obsession is that you would bear fruit. So I think what's on God's heart for us, I mean, in general, but I think specifically, is that we would become more and more fruitful. So I just want to look at a few things here about what this scripture says about that. Among other things, it's telling us that God Almighty, not just Jesus, not just the Father, not just the Spirit, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all working in tandem together in harmony that we would bear fruit. That all of the energies and the intention of God Almighty in our lives is oriented toward this one goal, that we would be people that bring forth fruit. It's not just one person. Jesus didn't come and persuade an angry God to forgive us. God, the Father, sent Jesus. All right, that's another sermon. So a couple years ago, I read about this. I don't know if you know, but if you take an apple seed and you plant it, it's genetic roulette. All right, you get an apple and you like the apple and you think, well, I'll plant this, maybe it'll grow a sprout and I can grow an apple tree. It's genetic roulette. There are thousands of options that could come out of that seed, and there's nothing you can do to control what comes out of that seed, all right, if you plant a seed. So what we've done, what humans have done for thousands of years, is they find apples that they like and they take cuttings of those apples, okay, they cut it off, and they graft it into a rootstock. All right, they graft it into a tree that has really good roots, and when it's grafted into that tree, it'll bring forth whatever the original twig was. Does that make sense? There's a couple of years ago when I found out about this, I read about a guy who was going around, going into old city planning maps and finding old abandoned orchards with trees that were still there that hadn't produced fruit in years, but he was taking cuttings from them and taking them back to his fruit tree and grafting them into his fruit tree, and he was getting apples that we thought had been extinct for 100 years. All right, at the time, he had 40 different varieties of apple on this one tree. So anyway, when I was getting ready tonight and I was just looking into it, actually, we've gone further and people are going crazy with this. There's a guy in England who has a tree with 250 varieties of apple on it, because he's going around finding all these apples and grafting them onto the tree. When the roots are good, you graft something into that and it will grow. Isn't that amazing? But I want you to think about this grafting for a minute. This grafting is really amazing. All right, I think you cut something off of a tree or a plant, it's dead. But the amazing thing is you can cut it off and put it on another tree and you kind of wrap it up. I mean, there's some things they do, but it will graft into that tree and it will grow. It's crazy. All right, but you can't wait a long time after you cut it. And you can't go around grafting it to many different trees, right? You can't take it back to the original tree. I mean, you could if you did it quickly. The point is it's something that can happen, but you've got to make this cut and then you've got to make it happen. Well, as we celebrate Christmas, or as we move toward the celebration of Christmas, Christmas is about the fact that the human tree was barren. That God made us to bear certain kinds of fruit, and the human tree was barren. I mean, once in a while, once in a rare season, the right kind of fruit came forward, and God said, son, you're going to have to become that tree. You're going to have to be the one that brings forth the fruit that the human race was meant to bring on. So God, the Word, the Son, assumed our nature, assumed our frail, weak form. And God the Father brought forth the fruit of righteousness through his life. And he is indeed the true vine. And see, what Christians are people who by faith and by baptism are grafted into that vine. And if we remain grafted, if we abide, as Jesus said, we will bring forth the fruit the Father intends. We will. That's the Father's intention. And that's the Father's desire. So what is the fruit? There's a number of different things, and I think it's worth paying attention to. Number one, I think one of the things that the fruit is joy. Shannon mentioned this. Does anybody know the emotion most associated with Jesus in the Gospels? If you sort of tally up the different, and this is, it's not what you think, might think by what I'm saying. Anybody know? It's anger. All right. The one that's most mentioned is anger. Jesus gets angry a lot. Now, we have to remember that Jesus was perfectly angry, right? Righteously angry. Angry in the right way. He wasn't flying off the handle, angry about losing a parking space. He was angry about things that matter, right? But the thing I want to mention is that the most joyful person that has ever walked the face of the planet was Jesus Christ. And he says later on here, I tell you these things that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might multiply. I just want to remind us that God made us and created us and Jesus died and rose again for us to share his joy that he shares with the Father. That's something that he wants to bring forth in our lives. So one of the things that the fruit is joy. But another thing that the fruit is, as the Bible calls them, good deeds. All right? Remember, Paul tells us in Ephesians that God made us in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared in advance for us to walk in. God made us for good deeds. He comes and he looks in our life, and he's not looking for good deeds to earn anything. But he's looking to us as branches grafted into his son, and he's looking for the good deeds that he desires to see flow out of our life. Amen? Related to that, the fruit that he's looking for is a heart and a mind like his son's, a character like his son's. I can't stress enough how much God desires to let us go with some aspect of his creation. To just be able to say, Howard, listen, I've got this continent and it's yours. What do you want to do with it? Does that make sense? Do you understand that that's what God wants to do with us? He wants to so infuse in us the character of his son that he can trust us with his projects. Now, there's a lot of preparation for that, but that's what he desires. He desires the character of Christ to be manifest more and more in us. And then finally, in terms of fruit, he desires that others would see the fruit in our lives, would be so persuaded by the deeds, by the poise, by the attitude that's not feigned, that they would say, how do I be a part of that? And that they would come and be grafted into the same vine. Amen? And remember, everybody can eventually tell the difference between real fruit and plastic fruit. And there's a lot of efforts people make to try to be fruit, and they become plastic fruit. And they don't do what Jesus says to become real fruit. And what is that? What is our part? Well, Jesus commands very few things in this section. The main thing I would stress that he commands is that we would abide. I remember I said you graft, you have to attach it, and then you have to make sure it stays. And Jesus essentially says, you need to stay attached to me. And if you stay attached to me, I want to promise you something. My Father is going to bring forth fruit through your life if you stay attached to me. So what is that abiding? Well, the first thing it is staying attached to Jesus in love and trust and obedience. Remember, practically this worked out for the earthly disciples by following him everywhere he went. But being attached to him, abiding in him, is saying, Lord, I have decided to cling to you for the rest of my life. It's like what Ruth did with Naomi wherever you go, I'm going. Where you die, I'm dying. Where they bury you, that's where I'm being buried. It is that kind of attachment to Jesus. It is being connected to him in love and affection. But it is also, he goes on to say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. This is a remarkable thing he goes on to say. Ask what you will and it will be given you. And I want to ask us to boldly lay claim of that promise. All right, and I want to suggest we haven't boldly laid claim to that. I'm not angry about that, but I want to suggest that we lay hold of that promise. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, when you pray, God will move. Why? Because if my words abide in you, what you ask for, what you desire, will be my Father's will. And he'll do it. He will. He'll do it. And so he says, listen, keep my word in the soil of your hearts. If you keep my word in the soil of your hearts, this will lead to answered prayers because you will begin to pray things more and more. And I want to issue this challenge to everyone. If there's an area of your life where there's promises of Scripture that have not come alive to you, I guess I issue this a lot, so maybe this isn't that startling, but I just want to invite everybody to this again. Find a passage of Scripture that speaks to a place in your life where you're defeated. Memorize it and take 2019 to see God make that thing happen in your life. Make it your theme song for the year. To abide, you have to stay, right? You have to stay put in the branch. Remember, if you ungraft this thing or you move this thing around, it's not going to grow. It's just like a seed. If you keep digging up a seed to see if it's growing, it's not going to happen. As Emily said, there's some waiting. There's some patience involved. There's some slow maturation. And sometimes there's fruit, and if anybody's ever tasted fruit before it was ready, you know, ugh. Okay, you have to wait. There's a patience involved. All right, it is digging in where God plants you. It's digging in with the relationships that God has planted you with, believing that I am abiding in him. I'm remaining here, and he's going to bring forth fruit. In those passages where he says, abide in me, all of them are y'all commands. Y'all abide in me. Y'all abide in me together. We should also mention, though, the warning. You know, as a church, we don't really believe technically in once saved, always saved. All right, because there's so many passages in scriptures like this. If there is a branch in me that bears not fruit, my Father taketh it away. Right? It's a sober warning. And I don't know if this is connected to what Shannon was talking about, but it is a sober warning, and it's right there in scripture, and he reminds us of it. But the other thing that we have to remember about God is that he's not waiting to go, oh, no fruit, cutting you off. God is full of joy, and he is so helpful. And he says to everyone who wants to bear fruit, come, abide in my son. And all my energy and all my son's energy and all the gifts of my spirit will be bent on you bringing forth fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. Amen? And so just an invitation to us, a call. I believe that the promises of Scripture are many, that God wants to bring forth fruit from our lives, that he wants to bring his Holy Spirit, his word into our lives. He wants to replace the bad fruit in our lives with the good word of his son so that he can bring forth good fruit so that he can be glorified. That's his intention. He's demanding, but he's also generous. Endlessly generous. Amen? So I want to make that invitation for this year to come. I know we're not done with the year, but that's why Jesus came, to make barren trees fruitful. And I believe God wants to bring forth some fruit in areas in our lives as a church that we haven't seen yet and that we're going to see in the year to come. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and we'll come to the table.